Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come to you this morning with a thankful heart that we serve a good God that can give us a vision and that can answer the call of our hearts. Just ask that you would speak through me this morning, help me to share what you would have me to share, and be with those that are not here this morning and those that are listening in. Bless their days as well. In Jesus' name, amen. On a consumer flight from Portland, Maine to Boston, Massachusetts, in the summer of 1987, the pilot heard an unusual noise coming from the rear of the aircraft. Henry Dempsey turned the controls over to his co-pilot and went back to check it out. As he reached the tail section of the airplane, an air pocket hit him, and Dempsey was tossed against the rear door and then quickly sucked out of the aircraft. The mysterious noise had been the rear door had not been properly latched prior to takeoff, and Dempsey was instantly sucked out of the jet. The co-pilot, seeing the red light on the control panel that indicated the rear door was ajar, radioed the nearest airport requesting to make an emergency landing. He also reported that Dempsey had fallen out of the aircraft and requested that the Coast Guard be dispatched to search that area of the ocean. When the airplane had landed, the ground crew found Henry Dempsey holding on to the outdoor landing gear. Somehow he had caught the landing gear and managed to hold on it for 10 minutes as the airplane flew at over 200 miles an hour at an altitude starting at 5,000 feet. What more is that when the airplane made its approach and landed, Dempsey had kept his head from hitting the runway within 10 inches away. According to the news reports, it took the airport personnel, emergency personnel, more than a few minutes to pry the pilot's frozen fingers from the landing gear. This is a picture of endurance. The ability to hang on when it would have been easier to let go. Many people are blessed with certain attributes, but the endurance and the determination is something that keeps you going and keeps us from ever giving up and from letting go. So this morning, I'd like to share on endurance. Endurance is the power to go on in spite of difficulties, keeping on, hanging in there, and never quitting. Synonyms for the word are grit, perseverance, tenacity, backbone. Endurance is putting through it when everything is hard. Henry Dempsey called it holding on for dear life. There's a lot of different Bible verses that share with this. The first one I'm going to look at is in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. It says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done it, the will of God, that ye might receive the promise." We have to have patience that through the will of God, and that there's a promise at the end of that. We all have moments when we want to give up. Giving up is something that gets reminded and frequently an option. And it's something that we have to make a choice if we're going to give up or not going to give up. In United States Navy SEAL training, on third week of the academy, there is something that's called Hell Week, where you are given under 2 hours of sleep every night, and 80% of cadets drop out on Hell Week. On Wednesday of Hell Week, you go to the ocean, and you stand in the water up to your neck for 4 hours, and then you roll around on the sand, and you have to spend the rest of the day in those clothes. And that's called a sugar cookie. And sometimes in life, we get sugar cookies. But as we have to decide if we're going to give up because that it's getting too hard and too uncomfortable, or if we are going to not allow circumstances to dictate our outcome. 2 Timothy 4, chapter 7, it says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." That is only possible if you endure and are determined to reach the end. If you're going to fight and finish a course and keep a faith, it's not going to always be easy. But we have to decide to maintain the goal and the vision, and whatever obstacles come in our way, we have to make a choice to either give up or work through them. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 24, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And again, here we see that you have to endure through a race. You have to run that you can obtain. If you don't run, if you give up because you're tired, then you're not going to obtain. I want to run. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. It says, He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We can't do this on our own. We have to rely on God's strength to give us the power to run and to not grow weary. And again, we have to choose to endure the hardships of the Christian life. In Galatians chapter 6, there's a verse there I'm going to read. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we grow weary in well-doing and give up, then we're not going to reap. So that's an encouragement not to give up, not to grow tired of doing what's right, and to be willing to stand apart from those that are seeking the flesh and this world. James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Not only are we enduring, but we are enduring with a promise of a crown and a prize. And if we don't endure and we give up, then we aren't going to receive the prize and the crown of life. Matthew 19:26. It says, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And once again we see that we can't endure the Christian life standing alone. We need the church and we need each other. And that's very important to remember that we're together in helping each other endure. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So we see again that as we endure, we have something to work toward, something that's a goal and something that's a prize. And if we decide that the getting's too hard, then we're not going to receive that. In Psalms 37, verse 24, it says, Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. It sees that it's not always going to be easy, you're not always going to be perfect, and I'm not always going to do it perfectly. But what's important is that if we fail in enduring something, that we get back up and don't let it keep us down. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. As I look at endurance, 2 Timothy is a book that is written on keeping the faith in a lot of ways, and Paul is encouraging Timothy to be steadfast and not to let the world, the affairs of this world, to get him down. The first point I'd like to look at here in endurance is not forgetting why we suffer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul was not losing sight of his vision, even though he was in jail as if he had committed an evil crime. He still knew what his calling was and his election. And I think it's important that we don't forget that we're going to suffer for Christ's sake. And that doesn't mean we need to give up, but that we need to find ways to endure in that. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I think it's important when we're enduring and things are hard that we don't lose our head. You have to keep a right focus that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The following verse, it says, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Don't become a prisoner of our circumstances. Think that when we become a prisoner of our circumstances, it's hard to focus on the goal and it's hard to endure because we are looking around us, not ahead. Verses 9 through 13 in chapter 1, it says, "Who hath called us? Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and mortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher for the Gentiles. For this cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." When we're enduring and we're going through a hard trial, it's important we don't lose our calling, because that calling isn't circumstantial. So I think it's important that we keep sight of our visions in order to endure. If you're going to endure through something that's hard and hurts, and you start thinking on your pains, it's really quick and easy to give up. If you're going to do something and you set a time limit that you're going to do it for a certain many minutes, and you are determined to get there and you focus on the time, it's a lot easier to make it through to your set goal than if you stop and think of all your pain. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables." Regardless of how the world is receiving, we are called to not back down our Christian stands and our Christian beliefs. You see, if you read the last couple verses there, it can seem like there's not much point in preaching or not much point in sharing, because it says clearly they're not going to endure sound doctrine and go after their own worldly things. But in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "I charge thee therefore before God." And that is holding us accountable. And so I think it's important that even when we feel like what we're sharing or the life we live is falling on deaf ears, we're still called to not back down on what we believe. 2 Timothy 3, verse 11, it says, "Persecutions, afflictions which come unto me." I think that's the wrong one. 4:16 through 18. "But at first no man stood before." "But at first," answered, "no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from all evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly calling, unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." It's important when we're enduring a hard trial to remember the times that we succeeded in the past, and to look at the victories that God has given us, and to use that to strengthen our current stand. If you were to decide to try and do 100 push-ups, and it's important to set a small goal of 10, and then maybe when you try to go from 10 to 20, you can remember you made it to 10, and it's easy to have a goal that you have made versus trying to go to 100 the first time. It's going to take you several months to be able to build up to it. Another interesting analogy I thought of is an oyster. An oyster and its pearl provide a beautiful picture of how life's irritations and difficulties can be turned into an amazing thing when it's endured. A pearl is a product of pain. A grain of sand slips into an oyster's shell, and the resources of a gel are inside the oyster go to the irritation, and as a oyster crawls on the ground, the sand scrapes its inside, and so it embalms this piece of sand so it doesn't irritate the inside of the oyster. And after it's been completely embalmed, it turns into a pearl. If it weren't for the stress and pain of that grain of sand and the pearl's determination to pull through the pain, we would have no pearls. So I think it's important to endure pain. We'll have circumstances that we don't understand, but what we do with the circumstances will determine if we have a pearl that comes out of it or not. One of the biggest important keys and roles to endurance is patience. You cannot learn patience from a message. That is, unless it goes so long that you get patient sitting there listening. You can't learn patience from a book or watching a DIY video. You can't go to school and have classes on patience. Patience, to me, is God's waiting room, and it's one of the most difficult aspects of the Christian's life of endurance. Patience is learning to ride out a storm and not being willing to give up. Patience in the Bible is often translated as long-suffering, which is a compound word. And long is self-answering what it means. However, the second half means hot, wrath, or anger, and it also means tempered. So long-suffering can be translated to long-tempered. The ability to keep cool when people or circumstances push us to our limits. James chapter 5. Verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and later rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. For anyone who farms, you have to be patient for rain or water to water your crops. And it uses that analogy here that we also need to be patient and establish our hearts in the coming of the Lord. If we're not patient and establishing our hearts, then we're not going to endure to that coming. It doesn't really matter your ethnic group, your age, your gender, your job. We're all going to face times in life where we have to make a choice to either give up or to press through and to endure. If you're going to endure, you have to set your goals to endure before the end. Before you get there, you're going to have to decide that you're going to endure. We can't do this on our own, and I came across a very interesting story that shows to me what God is like in my life. I'm not going to try and pronounce this man's first name. He's from Poland, and he's a famous concert pianist and the prime minister. He was giving a series of concerts, and a mother had been encouraging her young son to play the piano. He was having a hard time getting interested in it, so she thought she would bring him to this concert. When the night arrived, they found their seats near the front of the concert hall, and they eyed the majestic Steinway waiting on stage. The mother spotted a friend in the audience and walked down the aisle to greet her. Seizing the opportunity to explore the wonders of the concert hall, the little boy eventually made his way through a door marked "No Admittance." When the house lights dimmed, the concert was about to begin. The mother turned to her seat and discovered that her child was missing. Suddenly, the curtains parted, and spotlights focused on the impressive Steinway on stage. To her horror, the mother saw a little boy sitting on the keyboard, innocent playing "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star." Her mother gasped, but before she could retrieve her son, the great pianist appeared on the stage and quickly moved to the keypad. He whispered to the young boy, "Don't quit, keep playing." Leaning over, he reached down with his left hand and began to fill in the bass part. Soon his arm reached around the other side, circling the child and running obligation. Together, the old master and the young novice held the crowd mesmerized. In our quest for a character, for unpolished and innocent as though it may be, it is Christ our Master who surrounds us and whispers in our ear time and time again, "Don't quit, keep playing." You know, I'm sure that young boy could play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star quite well. But when he had one of the greatest pianists in the world, it was able to go so much farther. What we accomplish on our own is hardly noteworthy when we try our best compared to the results of Christ and his graceful music flowing through our life. But with the hand of the Master, our character, our lives, and our endurance can truly become beautiful. Our responsibility is not to quit, but to keep playing. His part is to fashion the masterpiece. Remember that God doesn't call the equipped. It's the equipped. He equips the called. And he'll always be there to love and guide you through great things. I don't know what everyone here is facing. I don't know how hard it is to struggle to endure the Christian life and to hang in there. But I want you to think on endurance, be willing to bear through the pain to reach the goal, to reach the prize, to be willing to avoid things that are stumbling blocks that slow you down, and remember every morning that you get up and you hold on, that help is just around the corner, and that there's a prize and a goal and a promise to each of us that are willing to endeavor and endure and to stay strong. So I just want to encourage everyone to just keep holding on. God bless you.